you're in search of a great new bottle of wine, or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Wine's food, you to drink a wine. Pass that bottle to me. Drinking wine's food, you to drink wine. Wine's food, you to drink a wine. Wine's food, you to drink a wine.
Well, I was waiting on you to welcome to a Sip and Chew show, a new edition of Sip and Chew.
Boy, is it new.
Last one for the month of August, which people consider the end of summer, and you know,
I guess from a fiscal point of view, it is the end. It is the end of the summer break.
No, in the last weekend of no real football.
No, no, we had real SEC football on yesterday. Vanderbilt dropped the hammer on. That was impressive. They went 5,000 miles from Nashville and beat the living snot out of Hawaii. I think it was 63-10 was the final. Wow. This is a team that last year lost at home by 21 points to an FCS team. I give it to Clarkley. He said at SEC Media Days, he goes, we're going to make Vanderbilt the best football program in America. And so far this season, they clearly are.
Right
we
now.
Have not seen a team
right
in
now.
The country better than Vanderbilt right now.
How about that?
And Wright, their quarterback, has got to be the current front runner for the Heisman right now. We've seen everything. Mm. And boy, what a clunker the Big Ten rolled out there. The two in schools, not very good versus not much better.
I consider it so boring, I just didn't even watch it. Mm. So, but anyway, coming off of Wine Spilly Yelly, today is National Red Wine Day.
Is it?
If you did not know that.
So, why don't they have that in the summer? That sounds like a weird
I don't make them up. I just report them. There's a lot of things I'd do a whole lot different if it were me.
How many days in a year are Red Wine Day? Because I'm sure there's more than
well,
one.
There's one Red.
Because there's like seven national cheeseburger days.
There's a national and then there's an international. Okay. So we already had this past week, we had Pinot Noir Day. Okay. Mm. So Red Wine Day.
So now they're going to hit every varietal?
They usually do. They find a way.
And, well, there's 365 days, are there 365 varietals? I bet there are.
Have you in Nebbiola? And
right. I mean, seriously, how many varietals are there, Mike?
A lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And then speaking of wine again, I'll go ahead and get the birthdays out of the way.
Okay, knock it out, brother.
Jim Bernew, who owns Willamette Valley Vineyards in Oregon, today's his birthday on National Red Wine Day. And Michael Toops has set in for you when you were out. Yeah. I forgot where you were at. I think you were up in...
Hospitaling?
No, you were out on the West Coast or something. Oh. The Northwest somewhere.
Okay.
Freezing your booty off.
Oh, okay. North Dakota. Yeah.
So, Mike... No, it wasn't then because it was summer. So, it had been summer. So, he works for Rush Wines. But he's another great wine guy, so today's his birthday. So we want to get those birthdays out of the way. And that's all I know of.
Yeah, I mean, you say it like that, it's like, let's get these people over with. Let's get on.
No, it just kind of segued right on into
right
it.
At the front. Yeah. Make sure they're honored. They feel special.
Yeah, might get lost in the show.
Yeah. On the day that they don't remember. Nobody remembers their birthday.
Well, everybody does now. Anyway, happy birthday to those two guys. And there's more, but they're not in the wine business or the food. They're not in the food industry.
They're
business.
Not in the biz.
The biz. So. Yeah. So what's going on in your world, Stu, this week?
I got a new laptop. So if you're watching on Facebook.com/sipandchew, it hopefully looks just like normal. But
it looks like the one. Oh, I've seen
my
this.
My other one's purple.
I've seen this. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I just got this Friday.
Okay.
Yeah. This one is digi camo. That's why you can't quite recognize it because it's camouflage.
I barely recognize it.
Yeah, you
I barely
didn't even notice,
saw it
You
at
didn't
all.
Know there was a laptop sitting here.
No.
Yeah, it just kind of snuck up on you.
Yeah.
But so far, the Facebook Live seems to be going okay.
Yeah.
Knock on polyurethane.
Well, look at you. You got some all new and everything. I got to get a new laptop. I own three laptops, but none of them are up to date.
Yeah. Well, if they're more than a year and a half old, they're not much good anymore.
See, the ones that I've got, mine's so old, mine's just got one window.
Yeah. Yeah, just Microsoft Window.
Window. So.
You still got that TRS-80 from Radio Shack?
Hey, this past, excuse me.
Don't
this
die.
Past, what day was that? This past Wednesday.
I was there.
Huh?
I was there. I was a participant in Wednesday.
Well, you were participating somewhere else, though.
Right. I mean, I participated in the day. I didn't skip
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you didn't take that day off?
No.
So anyway, Roy and I went over to see our friend Dan Navarro. And his lovely wife. And they had a little soft opening for their new place, Dan's Diner.
Fancy name.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I saw the pictures that you published, and it's definitely road trip worthy.
Well, those are his pictures. I stole them off his Facebook page.
Yeah.
I said, "Watch, these are perfect." So I used.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he brought someone in professionally, or maybe his wife dabbles.
Yeah, he may have an iPhone 13 Plus.
Well, he may have a Samsung S21 Ultra.
Never heard of it. Anyway, we had a lot of response on Baldwin County Foodies Facebook page. They've got like almost 15,000 people on that Facebook. That thing has grown like crazy.
Well, a lot of people, because outside of the industry, haven't heard the name Dan Navarro because he spent most of his time here in Mobile the last 10 or so years as a chef instructor.
Yeah.
But I know, because I've known Dan for years and I knew his students and stuff, that he went to a burger throwdown at the Floribama with Cullinard when he was an instructor there.
Yeah.
Just a team of students. They took on, I believe it was Chris Sherrill, Wesley True, and I want to say Brody Olive, but it may have been Bill Brian. I mean, it was another big name from over there.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan went in with a bunch of students and just wiped the floor with them. They were, I mean, the students were just exhilarated that Dan beat these three incredible chefs. He is one of the top chefs on the Gulf Coast.
I think so as well.
And he proved that at World Food Championship.
Yeah.
He and his team won the burger championship, $10,000 in their pocket, and went to Dallas to compete for $100,000.
I was there.
Yeah. In Dallas?
No.
Oh, the burger?
The one here in Mobile.
Yeah.
The one at the Wharf.
Yeah. At Orange Beach.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I'm sure it seems like it's a family enterprise. His son has gotten bitten by the bug. And I'm sorry, buddy. Enjoy your life of
poverty. I don't
think
his son's got a choice. I was there the day they were getting ready for catering, and I don't think his son had a choice. But it's a lovely place. It's going to be a cool place. It looks like something from Happy Days from back in the 50s. And all he needs is park some 57 Chevys and a 55, 57 Corvette.
Does the outside show it, or is it just like,
no,
as
you
far
don't
as you know
it.
You're in a strip mall?
You don't know
something.
It. And he said it's been sitting there like 10 years empty. Well, all that sitting there just like that. And they didn't have,
like a 50s diner?
It's been sitting there for almost 10 years like that. If I'm believing myself is right on that.
That wasn't the right time for Summerdale.
It was an ice cream shop.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it's two blocks off of 59. Mm-hmm. It's not on the way there anywhere. You got to pull. It's right next to the only red light they got. Okay?
There you go.
The other intersection's got a flashing light.
Yeah.
But the community's
drive
growing
by,
like.
Pulls its shirt up. And it says, throw me something, mister.
I don't know if they have any Mardi Gras parades in Summerdale yet, but where it's at, it's like a park. Mm. And there's some beautiful houses being across, built on the other side. And I think it's going to be a fabulous area.
Well, Summerdale, all of a sudden, thanks to Dan, now has a pretty impressive food scene to be a tiny little town.
Absolutely.
Because in that L.A. barbecue, isn't that technically Summerdale?
Right there close by.
And then Arjuan's place, Acadiana Cafe, is that Summerdale?
No, that's Silver Hill.
Okay. Same thing?
No.
Okay.
They're miles apart.
Are they?
Yeah.
Miles apart?
They're miles and miles
and
miles.
And not a single street with an actual name between them. Everything's got a number, right?
Yes.
This is the hardest thing about navigating Baldwin County is you have to do algebra.
I wish I paid more attention in calculus. Yeah.
Well, also, there's an established odd-numbered streets run north-south.
Yeah.
And even-numbered streets run east-west. They don't have a single street in Baldwin County that just runs north-south or east-west. Okay. They all run something at different parts.
Folks, if you have something to say, call 251-343-0106 or text us there on the Callahan's Irish Social Club text call-in line.
Well done.
Get a table near the street in our old familiar place. You and I, face to face. A bottle of red, a bottle of white. It all depends upon your appetite. I'll meet you anytime. Italian restaurant.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
This is Billy Stitt with Billy Small Batch Bacon, and I'm here from Old 27 Grill on the Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
Us, we're Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
Now, I was in, last week I was in Ocean Springs.
Mississippi.
And, I Mosaic. And I had a...
They just celebrated like a 10-year anniversary, didn't they?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think they saw... They showed something like what the pictures were when they first opened, and it was a while back.
I don't know. I'm impressed. But I had a pork belly taco. Mm. And all I could think about was Billy's bacon and Billy's pork belly. And the whole time I was eating, and I was even telling my guest.
And who was your guest? Was it Roy Sewer of Butch Cassidy's Cafe?
No, he was doing something else.
I was just trying to segue into Butch Cassidy's Cafe.
Okay.
Because anyway. It's one of our fine sponsors.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Somebody said something. We got a caller
about... We got sponsors we got to do first.
Oh,
yes.
I'm sorry.
That's why I segued into the sponsors.
Hey, you know, I ate breakfast before I got here. Guess where I went?
Bob's Downtown Diner.
How'd you know that?
Because it's at the corner of Fat and
Happy.
Well,
I just crank my car up on Sunday mornings. I crank my car up and it just drives there.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I try to go somewhere else and it just drives there.
In fact, you live so close that if it was a hybrid, the engine wouldn't even start.
I know.
You'd do the whole thing on battery.
There I could. I'd close my eyes. But anyway, yes, I eat there today. So Bob's Downtown Diner, corner fat and happy.
Mm-hmm.
Peace, love, and bacon grease is their motto.
Yep.
And
we
food
mentioned,
was phenomenal.
We mentioned Roy Sewer, Butch Cassidy's Cafe, mm-hmm. The mayor of Flo Shell.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get down to Butch Cassidy's and have yourself a now famous book. Butch Burger, I believe the menu says now famous Butch Burger.
Now it is now.
Yeah.
So, hey. We also have Lebeshon Wine and Taps where I worked there last night. Had a good time. Saw some old friends.
Over in Daphne, Alabama?
And downtown Daphne.
Yeah.
But they want you to go to their Facebook page, or you can go to ours, and you can go to text in Wine Down onto a phone number that's on our picture that's on our Facebook page mm-hmm. and mine. So you can, or you can go to Lebeshon's Facebook page. And if you want to know what all the goings-ons are for them,
mm-hmm.
you could sign up on that text.
On that thing right there.
And they'll send you,
push notifications. The
push notifications, yes. They'll send you information on who all's playing there, right. What night music is.
If they're running any
even
specials,
what night,
maybe if they get a new bottle in.
Even if Mike Bailey's going to be working there.
Yeah, you know? They'll tell you to, you know, this is
so
a good night
to
stay home.
So you'll know not to come right. up with better plans.
Yeah.
So.
And I want to personally thank our friends from Hall's Sausage
and
Wholesale Meats. I was lucky enough Wednesday night to do an event with one of our other sponsors, mm-hmm. Alabama Coasting. We did the refresher course for the World Food Championship judges.
Yeah.
And Deborah was there. And
I would think so.
Yeah. Well, she's a judge getting refreshed.
Okay.
I did not know Deborah was going to be there, but I did Delta Safari mac and cheese with a duck fat roux,
mm-hmm.
Colby Jack cheese sauce, crawfish and Hall's venison sausage. And Deborah came up afterward and said, you've been holding out on me on this one. I said, I really can't afford to sell that one.
Yeah.
Nobody would be able to pay for that.
Okay.
But it went extremely well. It introduced a lot of people to the venison sausage that they have there at Hall's as well.
Cool.
It was a fantastic mac and cheese. It was I was very proud of what I did there.
Hey, if does that cover our sponsors?
Well, we do need to elaborate a little more on Alabama Coasting, but I tell you what, David's on the line, so we'll just save that for just a little bit in just a few minutes. He's got a food sport update.
Right.
Why don't we talk to Vince?
All right, Vince.
We understand that we have a caller named Vince, and he's got a food truck question.
Yeah, I was just calling to see if there how's the food truck community in Mobile?
Lively.
There's a lot of them.
It's growing. There is a food truck rally was last Saturday, wasn't it, at Cooper Riverside?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and Bay Bites food truck rally, they usually have, the times that I've been before, a dozen or so trucks, and it may have even been bigger this year.
There are quite a bit of food trucks, for
yeah,
sure.
They're blowing up here in Mobile, finally. We're getting on the cutting edge of that.
And getting really good
And
ones.
Baldwin County's got their own crop of food trucks going down on the beach as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the fort.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was just wondering about. I know I just left New York.
Uh-huh.
Well, it ain't quite that. Yeah. You guys got a halal card on every corner, man.
Well,
and
I
put out some fantastic food, but we're not quite there.
I met a gentleman last year downtown, and he's from Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and he had a food truck up there, and he brought it down here.
Yeah.
He was from here anyway.
Right.
But, man, he said that it's just saturated in Chicago. Was it saturated in New York?
Oh, he's gone. Vince
okay.
Gone. Yeah.
Sorry, Vince. But yeah, he said he came down here and he's doing really well down here.
Yeah.
Wasn't oversaturated.
Right. And you're going to have that now in the bigger cities because mm-hmm. they finally made it so it's easy to
do
this business
with
commissaries and
such. If you don't make it in the food truck, just like the catering industry, if you don't make it and make a good living out, your food is either A, horrible,
or you're doing something wrong.
You're doing something really wrong because people love food truck food.
Buying all the stuff for it at Walmart
and
a bad thing. I know the prices seem good to you, but they're not compared to wholesale. And that's a common mistake mm-hmm. that people make, going to a Walmart or a regular store to buy the stuff.
And
they're going to go to Walmart because it's cheapest, but you get what you pay for. Folks, if you see a piece of meat in any grocery store on a white tray, you don't want it unless you know how to salt cure. There's a tease.
Okay. I know now.
Now, we were talking of our sponsors.
Yeah.
And our good friends at Alabama Coasting. We happen to have one on the line right now.
Right this very second.
David, tell us about some food sport, buddy.
Well, we three things to cover quickly. One, you talked about our refresher course. We had a great group of people. It was a high-caliber group. We had high-caliber chefs. Stuart, that was the best. That's the best mac and cheese I've ever tasted from you.
Thank you.
And that not only introduced them to the sausage, but it introduced them to your mac and cheesery, which was great. And, of course, you competed against Patty Clark, who is a monster.
They are currently enjoying the fruits of my endeavor. Now, I don't have any of the cherry jubilee, but they are getting into the cheesecake with white ganaches or chocolate ganache as we speak.
Yeah. Good.
That's why you and I are the only ones talking at the moment. Mike just grabbed a straw and stuck it in the middle of the cheesecake. Now the cheesecake's gone.
That's good.
Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. And please keep going.
So we just got back in town from Opelika. We did actually a double in Opelika.
God's country.
On Friday, we did kind of a test event with a new association, the Pizza Cook-Off Association. So we brought ten of our BBQ steak chefs to come in and try their hands at pizza on a grill or however, and it went really well.
Is it the most creative pizza, or is it who can slap out 25 pizzas the fastest, or does the acrobatics?
No, it's creativity.
Okay,
make your best pizza.
Yeah. In mind, sir.
It was good. There's some learning curves. There's some things he needs to do to make it, more efficient. One of the things, a pet peeve of mine in like the KCBS is they don't insist that the cooks have a description of their dish.
Okay.
And so it was one margarita pizza, but everything else was a mix of stuff, and the judges have to guess what it is, and that's just not fair to them or to the cooks.
Right, yeah, that's
that's weird.
Yeah. Weird is a good description.
That's weird.
We had 45 teams.
Wow.
And most of them did a double. We were in downtown Opelika, so there was some shade. It was near the John Emerald Distillery was kind of our host. So that was cool, and we had a good time. It was hot, not as hot as Tuscaloosa, but it was hot.
Did you make it to Chuck's Barbecue while you were there?
No, I was there from noon Friday working the pizza thing, and then from 6 o'clock to 5 o'clock yesterday. So
that area, David, for barbecue is very interesting. It's called a Big Pig style. It started with a barbecue place in Columbus, I believe.
Yep.
It's not like anywhere else in the country, and Chuck's does it. They use what is called a CT butt, and there are two muscles on a Boston butt. Right. They just get the one that's the most flavorful and has the most fat.
Which, in case people don't know, is not the butt.
Right. I can get in. It's about a five-minute lesson on why they call it a butt. but it has nothing to do with your booty. But they do it's a real small pork butt, and they cook it at a high heat over coals. So it's
really,
yeah, and then the sauce is mustard based. It's just
so
fantastic.
It's not a low and slow; it's a high heat. Get it
right, but it is terrific barbecue. It's unbelievable because it's such a small piece, though. You get the smoke infusion. We got to go to break, buddy. You got anything else you want us to hold you over and tell us more?
Yeah, one last thing.
All right, sounds great. 251-343-0106. Mike, what is that?
That is the Callahan's Irish Social Club texting line.
Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Chef Rob, the Irish Pub and Grill. You're listening to Spin Chew with Mike and Stu.
Chef Rob.
I like the way he say that.
Mm-hmm.
Love that style of voice.
Southern.
Well, yeah. Kind of gravelly, you know.
Yeah. But you need anyway to talk. Cause
hey, we still got David on the phone. David, you still there?
I'm here.
All right.
I'll work on my gravelly voice just for Mike. Hey, just a quick update.
Yeah.
One last thing. Unfortunately, we have to reschedule the cast iron skillet competition that was set for Saturday. We had a COVID attack on our several of our cook teams, and so we lost over a third of our cook team.
Yeah.
So we can't pull it off. We're going to reschedule it. We have rescheduled it for October 29th, the end of the month.
Much better weather. Oh, my God, the weather's going to be great. Weather will be great for that.
The weather will be great, it's right, because we all know what weather in a fort can be like.
In a fort, yeah.
So the next thing we have coming up will be October 1st in Bala Battery, the Hooked on the Bayou Seafood kind of festival, and then that'll be a steak cook-off as well. So.
All right.
We will see you guys out. Thanks for the time, guys.
Anytime, David. See what he did there with those play of words, hooked.
Yeah, because it's a seafood. Yeah. I got you. All right, thanks, David.
Thanks for
having me out Wednesday night. It was a lot of fun.
Hey, man, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Man, I'm glad it's waited. I'm sorry, but October is much better weather.
Yeah. Okay, so Wednesday night, like David was talking about, we did that refresher. And I want to tell everybody what Patty Cakes did, Patty Clark. She did a cheesecake with an Oreo cookie crust, a dark chocolate ganache, and Cherry's Jubilee on the top. Man.
Mm-mm.
She fired it out. Well, you know, other than the Cherry's Jubilee.
Yeah.
I saw Patty yesterday, and she said, oh, I could make you some Cherry's Jubilee to try on the show. Charlie's scooting up here.
He's looking at my cheesecake.
Charlie, you want to drink the rest of the ganache?
No.
Okay.
You sure getting close, Charlie. What are you doing?
Charlie wants to holler. Talk. Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to congratulate Patty because, man, that cheesecake was good. And you explained to me something about the crunchies that were in the chocolate sauce.
That was actually the crust. The crust is made out of Oreo cookies.
Wow.
Yeah. So when the sauce hit the crust, it kind of, they flowed into it.
Well, girl, you still have the touch.
Oh, boy, does she. Those people were overwhelmed.
And she's so proud of her son. Her son's doing a great job in football.
Yeah, I forgot to ask if they won Friday night.
I think they did. Yeah,
they played Gulf Breeze.
I can't remember, but
I ended up.
She's proud of him, nonetheless.
I click on one of the local TV stations, their YouTube highlights from Friday Night Football. They only did private schools. That's all they put on the YouTube.
Well, there was a lot of them played the other night.
A lot of public schools that played Friday night, too, and they didn't give any of those scores. So now I don't know who won anything Friday night.
You got to go to Channel 5 and listen to Randy Patrick at 10:30. You're going to find out that stuff.
Well, I thought that's what this was going to be, was the regular highlight show, but it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Well, and also you could listen to Coach Cleveland and the boys on Prep Sports Report, because they gave all the scores all over the state Saturday morning. Of course, that might have been late for you. Yeah,
I was at work.
Well, they do a podcast.
He's working and looking in the back of his eyelids. Yeah.
I'll find you.
Thanks for letting me sit by you,
boss. Lulina, go back over there.
One of my goals in life.
You know, I know you're a proud Auburn guy.
Yeah. And you're a proud Alabama guy.
Roll Tide.
Yeah.
But Forbes magazine did a survey. Mm-hmm. The top places to retire at
in America.
In America. Mm-hmm. And I guess they're talking about coaches.
We've got our fair share. All the way back to Terry Bowden, every coach still has their house in Auburn and still lives there in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Gus lives there in the offseason. Terry Bowden lives there in the offseason. It's a beautiful
area. Does Tubby still have a house?
He may be living there again very soon.
Yeah.
He verbally said Friday he is interested in the athletic director position at Auburn.
No, he's
I would love to see him with the power to go toe to toe with the Board of Trustees, though, because they tried to do the same thing to him that they did to Hartford.
So anyway, Forbes magazine rated the top places to retire at in the United States of America, and in Alabama it was Auburn. Auburn had it going on.
It is, football aside, it is one of the most beautiful parts of the country. Lee County is gorgeous. It's rolling hills. If you've ever seen like the Tennessee walking horse area of Tennessee or where they train the thoroughbreds in Kentucky, it looks very similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
Just big rolling hills, lots of farmland. It is absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, Tuscaloosa as a city, not exciting, but that area around Tuscaloosa is also just gorgeous. What's the name of the tunnel? the small one? Bankhead National Forest. The same Bankhead they named the National Forest.
Right. But coming in a second, good close second place was Gulf Shores. So those are two. Yes, Gulf Shores makes sense. Auburn surprised me. Really surprised me.
Huntsville was just named the best city in America to live in. Marty Dunkey was up there at their official celebration.
Yeah, I saw that. So,
and you know, honestly, if you look at all of the matrix out there and the variables they use to decide that, the best part of the country is that Tuscumbia Muscle Shoals area of Alabama. Mm-hmm. So if you want to live in a small town anywhere in America, it's that. And by all determining factors, that's the best part of Alabama.
We got the mountains and...
Well, you
almost get the Four Seasons and...
Right, and the crime rate is very low, which is rare for any part of Alabama.
Yeah.
And...
Well, everybody lives up there is a millionaire. The poor millionaire is going to rob the rich millionaires?
A millionaire robbing the billionaires. But I want to explore that whole Tuscany. It's like four little communities up there, and it's just supposed to be gorgeous. So, we've got a great state, in case you didn't know. Mark.
We do. And you know, in a great state comes great food. And
and great responsibility. Oh, yes. No, that's
but
Spider-Man
I want to talk about a new place. Well, it's not a new place. This Wednesday is their third-year anniversary open. Is Brewhaus on Highway 90. And they have started brunch now. So if you're out in West Mobile or anywhere and you're looking for a brunch place, you need to go to Brewhaus from 10:30 to 3 on Sundays.
And is that a dog-friendly brunch?
You know... It's all indoor.
No. Okay.
But they do have a patio out front. It's just too hot right now. But I've got their menu posted on our Facebook page, mine and ours, my personal and our show's Facebook page. If you want to see what they have to offer, it looks pretty good to me.
And congratulations on 3 years.
3 years.
Toughest 3 years in the restaurant industry, too.
And she went through COVID during that time.
Well, that's what I mean. Oh, she had it.
She started during COVID just about, right as it was starting up, and so she made it through it.
Yeah. And because there are a lot of restaurants, we're really starting to find the fallout from COVID now as far as the restaurant closings. I've been keeping up in Auburn. Like half of downtown Auburn's restaurants have closed in the last 3 weeks.
Just sad. Yeah. Sad.
But it is a market correction,
it's not,
too.
It's not from business being sorry. It's from no employees.
Right. Well, we also have had a tremendous imbalance. And I can say this, having worked in the industry for 35 years, we have too many restaurants in America. Way too many restaurants in America.
I'd say we got too many that are so-so.
Yeah, well,
the majority
of restaurants in America are so-so or worse.
And we'd need more exceptional-type restaurants.
Dining out is not something you should do two or three times a week. It's something you do twice a month. Spend more money when you dine out. I'm talking from a viable... If you want restaurant workers to ever be anything other than slave labor, you need less restaurants. People need to spend more money at a restaurant.
Well, I think I do.
A lead cook at a restaurant should make what a teacher or someone else in another profession makes, not minimum wage.
I don't think teachers get paid enough.
But they make four or five times what a line cook does, and their job is no tougher. A line job cook has all of the mental issues you deal with in any office job, plus the physical
demands. I know I don't want to be back there in that hot ass
kitchen. Right, and with the screaming and all of that.
And the greasy floors.
Right, and I'm not saying we should pay teachers less.
Yeah.
I'm saying... An experienced line cook of 5 years or more deserves what a teacher makes easily. And they don't. They make minimum wage. And that's. And as long as it stays like that, you're going to find people that... Because that's what's happened during COVID, is all these people in the restaurant or all of the service industry have looked at it and went, why have I been being abused day in and day out for the last 10 years when there are other jobs out there that pay three times as much, you have no responsibility, you don't do anything. You just get paid for showing up every day. And that's what most jobs are compared to a hard job, like a cop or a firefighter or a restaurant worker.
Well, there are those restaurants who do offer great benefits. They still can't draw anybody in to want to cook.
Yeah.
They can't.
Yeah.
But we do have an oversaturation.
And to your point, the reason we have an oversaturation of restaurants is because we have national chains. And we don't need them. We don't need a Red Lobster. This country would be a better place without Red Lobster ever having opened its doors. They've never done great food. They haven't even served American food since the 70s. They import everything. Mm-hmm. We would be better off without a Red Lobster. We would be better off without Olive Garden. Except for the people that don't stock those companies. They would not be better off. But then again, maybe they could have put their money into something like Apple Computers.
The views expressed on this show are not necessarily the views of the staff and the manager.
Nope, they're the views of the expert. But yeah, oversaturation has been the major problem with the restaurant industry. We have too many restaurants. That causes people to artificially deflate the cost of food. Mm-hmm. We have said this before. You go and eat a steak dinner at a chain restaurant. That restaurant is losing money if you don't order alcohol. They're selling you that steak less than it costs them to put it.
Well,
on
I don't know.
Table.
I looked at a restaurant from Biloxi last week, Jim, and one
was
you've
chain
been
restaurant?
To. One
yeah,
you've
that's
been
not
to.
A chain.
And
I'm talking like Roadhouse.
$58.
Yeah, and you get, and it's worth every penny you get for it. If you pay less than $58 for that steak,
you
they would be
I
losing
expect
money.
To pay that for those type restaurants.
Right,
I do. I go in there knowing. Now you talk about going out to eat twice a month. I may go to a place like that once a month.
Right. But there are people that eat out at a sit-down restaurant every night, Mike, and they don't make $35,000 a year because they won't cook. They just won't cook. Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about it during COVID. 45 minutes lines at a McDonald's? Really? You're so lazy you would eat that garbage and sit in a line for 45 minutes.
254-251-343-0106 is our Callahan's Irish Social Club text and call in line and fuss line.
Fuss it.
If you want to fuss. When we come back, I'm going to talk about how the rules have changed on wine.
Wine?
And snobbery.
There's rules to snobbery?
Something like that. Go with it.
As long as you're tipping, it's a place to heal and a to hurt after a long week of hell. It's like Sunday church. You'll
334-3106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hi, I'm Simon Majumda, and I'm telling you to listen to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. It's the best food show on the radio.
Start singing all night, drinking wine, spoodie, drink wine, pop, pop.
You noticed, he said food show. We about to change that.
I got to call him. Real quick, got to do sponsors, then we got Cookie online, and I got something to say.
And anyway, it's what Cookie wants to ask about, so it all ties in nicely. So anyway, sit over here and shut up for a while.
Do that.
Yes, sir.
It's true. Oh, by the way, Leanna brought some Brock's tailgate candy corn. Anyway,
candy corn is
that's
the best.
That's really not bad.
Candy
it's
corn is the best bad. Halloween candy ever mm-hmm. invented.
I love candy corn, yeah. And I brought it in and had Dalton do it on mm-hmm. a Facebook Live last week, and he really hated it. And Sean runs for me when I bring candy in because I torture them.
Okay. So anyway, this is nothing that Bob's Downtown Diner would probably serve on the corner of Fat and Happy, right. But they would help sponsor this show so we can sit here and do this. But it is something that Le Bichon would put on the menu for their Halloween candy and wine pairing tasting.
That'd be a good one to go with.
That would. I've got five different flavors there.
One of them is vanilla ice cream. Mm-hmm. One of them is fruit punch.
Okay.
Now we get crazy. Popcorn. If you've ever had popcorn-flavored jelly beans, they're phenomenal, and so are these.
Okay. I'll go what you said.
Hamburger and hot dog flavor.
Oh.
Hadn't hit one yet.
Okay.
Mike's thinking, dip that in some that chunky peanut butter.
And then we want to certainly think Hall's sausage meat. That would probably go good with some sausage right there. So who knows? Who knows? We'll try it.
Hall's sausage and popcorn candy.
Yeah, and then Roy might do it. Roy might do us a burger or a Cubana sandwich with that.
Or a burger with burger-flavored candy. There you go.
And then, of course, David and Danny Calmetti of Alabama Coast Magazine. So, anyway, that covers all them. Let's get Cookie on. Yeah. I got something important to talk about.
And Cookie wants how are you, to ask hon? About it. So, red wine. Let's go, Cookie. What you got?
The same stuff y'all are talking about, but in a slightly different slant, okay?
Okay.
Including the places that y'all were talking about. I worked in a lot of those places, okay? In those same locations, all right?
Okay.
That's where I got my food and beverage training.
All right.
The earliest. So it put me through college.
Yep. Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would like to see restaurant working anyway. Not be a get-you-through college job. I'd like to see it return to being a career.
The red wine thing. You said it was red wine day, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Why am I getting an echo?
I don't know.
Turn your radio down.
I don't know.
Okay.
How's that?
It's wine day, though. Anyway, I just wanted to point out, you know, and in fact, like I said, the things that y'all were just talking about, the candy corn, the whatever, you know, if you break it down into what it is, it's sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or worse, high fructose corn syrup.
Beg pardon?
Or worse, high fructose corn syrup.
Well, yeah, some of that is.
Yeah, that's worse than sugar.
My comment is that you can take, because I was standing in a neighborhood store that, you know, that I won't mention again, but yesterday, and I was buying some red wine, and there was a lady that came up, and I was buying some other wine, some white wine. And as I had to stand on the cart in the bottom level to pull it off to get the some of the white wine, which is they're both very popular wines. Wine's not a bad thing. And I said, am I taking the last of the bottle? Because there were only three bottles. Am I taking the last of the bottle? Would you like to have this one? And she went and said no. I said, well, you know, and I saw what she was pulling off, and it was a very similar thing with a different tint to it. And I said, well, you know, I make my own blends of wine.
Hmm.
This is my point. I make my own blends of wine. And if you buy something that is not to your taste, In other words, Merlot generally is not to, you know, I use it for different things, but Merlot is generally too acerbic for what I like.
Hmm.
But you can add a pinch of a drizzle of agave or a pinch of brown sugar or something like that and make it what you want. And mm-hmm. make it work the way that you want. That is my point. That, you know, I'm thinking that this is not going to sell you less red wine. I'm thinking it's going to sell you more red wine.
You can pour. You can pour.
I hope so.
You can probably pour a little bit of Coke or Pepsi into it, and if it's too acidic for you, there is a real drink where they mix wine and Coke together.
Well, there's a real drink where they make wine and club soda together mm-hmm. and some citrus fruit, and it's mm-hmm. called sangria, right?
It's a spritzer or a sangria, yeah. So, look, on Merlot, right now Washington State is probably making the best Merlot in the world right now. It's more Bordeaux style. It's delicious. It really is delicious.
Okay,
it's like,
name again?
In Washington State. The state of Washington.
Name of the wine.
You can get Seven Falls. You can get any of them. Columbia Crest. Up in Washington State, their style of winemaking is more Bordeaux than it's ever been. And they do their cabs the same way, but it's delicious because it's almost like the, you know, black currant, the raspberry, like biting into a blackberry. You know, you just pick from a blackberry bush. You can almost taste the seeds, the tanning of the seeds in it. Oh, it's so good right now. You ought to try one.
Is that somewhat similar to our, what is it called? It starts with an M. It's not Moscato.
That's too sweet. That's too sweet. But
it's a locally grown.
Muscadine.
Fruit. Muscadine. Yes,
no, muscadine is too sweet.
Yeah, but you could dilute it. You know.
Yeah,
my point.
You could. You could.
Yeah.
Try Merlot. If you like Merlot, try Merlot.
Like I said, hopefully this will sell more wine and not less, because wine is a good thing.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely is. Well, Cookie, thank you, and have a great wine day, red wine day, okay?
I'm doing it. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for calling, sweetheart.
So somebody with an opinion wrote an article, and I love
was
this.
Was it me?
And it's about we're turning our nose up at these totally breakable wine rules. And we've always tried to be a snob-free zone here on the show. And so they've got a BS rule number one, BS rule number two, and we all know what BS means. Does it mean better stuff? It just means, you know what it means.
Bull stuffings.
One of them is rosé is only for summer. No, rosé's any time of the year. I like rosé. Depending on what I'm having, if I'm particularly seafood, but rosé was always thought of as a good summertime wine because they had it along the Mediterranean during the warm summer months, because it was light, it was a good patio wine. They get those humid summers like we do here, but we're about to go.
Got to go.
All right, we'll finish this next week. Lord have mercy. But just keep that in mind.
Keep in mind, we're a caller-driven
keep
show.
Keep this in mind. Get out to support local, be local, buy local. Support your servers by tipping them more. And servers earn it.
And if you can't prove in a crowd, prove alone.